Preparing for the Last Supper. Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 to 19. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.' The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover."
It is now Holy Thursday. Jesus, with his apostles and many of his disciples, have been in Jerusalem since the previous Sunday. As is customary, they have camped in the field of the Galileans on the Mount of Olives and close to Gethsemane. It is early morning and Jesus and his apostles are walking towards Jerusalem. When they are almost at Gethsemane, the apostles ask Jesus, "Where shall we go to consume the Passover? Which place are you choosing? Tell us and we'll go and prepare everything." And Judas of Kerioth says, "Give me your orders and I'll go." But Jesus says, "Peter and John, go ahead and enter the town by the Dung Gate. As soon as you go in, you will meet a man who is coming back from En-Rogel with a pitcher of that good water. Follow him until he goes into a house. You will say to the person in the house, 'The master says, where is the room where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large supper room. Prepare everything there and go quickly and then join us at the temple." The two go away in a hurry. Jesus instead proceeds slowly. The morning is still cool and only the first pilgrims have appeared on the roads leading into town. They cross the little Kidron Bridge before Gethsemane and enter the town. The gates are no longer watched by legionaries, probably because of a counter order by Pilate, who has been reassured about the lack of disputes concerning Jesus. There is, in fact, absolute tranquility everywhere. Oh, no one can deny that the Judeans have been able to control themselves. No one has molested the master or his disciples. Behaving respectfully, if not affectionately, and as well-mannered people, they have always greeted him, even the most rancorous members of the Sanhedrin. Just now a large group of Pharisees and scribes passes by, coming from Caiaphas's country house, which is close to the gate. Among them is the son of Annas, with Helki and Sadoc. And bending their backs, covered with wide mantles, they pay their respects among the fluttering of garments, fringes, and bulky headgear. Jesus greets them and passes by, regal in his red woolen tunic and his mantle of a darker shade, with the sun turning his coppery hair into a golden wreath and a shining veil reaching down to his shoulders. Judas of Kerioth, who was always looking around, moves to the roadside under the pretext of tying his sandal. And, I see him very well, he beckons to those men to wait for him. He lets Jesus and his disciples go ahead, always busy at the buckle of his sandal to strike an attitude. He then passes quickly close to the scribes and Pharisees and whispers, "Meet me at the beautiful gate about the sixth hour, just one of you." And he darts away quickly, joining his companions. They go up to the temple. There are only few Jews as yet, but many Gentiles. Jesus goes to worship the Lord. He then comes back and he tells Simon and Bartholomew to buy the lamb, getting the money from Judas of Kerioth. Oh, I could have done it, says Judas. And Jesus replies, you will have other things to do. You know that. There is that widow to whom the offering of Mary of Lazarus is to be taken, telling her that after the festivities she should go to Bethany, to Lazarus's house. Do you know where she lives? Have you understood? Yes, says Judas, I know. When have I to go? And Jesus says, later. I shall not stop long here. I will rest today as I want to be fit for this evening for my night prayer. All right, says Judas. Maria Valtorta comments, well, I wonder. In the past days, Jesus has said nothing about his intentions so as not to let Judas have any details. Why does he now say what he will do during the night? Has his passion already begun with the blindness of foresight, or has this foresight increased so much that he can read in the books of heaven that this is the night, and that therefore it is necessary to make it known to him who is waiting to know, so that he may hand him over to his enemies? Or has he always known that his immolation is to begin this night? I cannot give any answer. Jesus does not give me any reply. And I remain with my queries while I watch Jesus, who is curing the last sick people, the last ones. Tomorrow, in a few hours, he will no longer be able.